This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Woohoo! We made it! Woohoo! Woo.
Yeah, 100 shows. We even got a nice card.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sheprick with a pass left corner, had open three for the tie. Good! Riley had knocked down a three!
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
It's over! The Bullpups have knocked off Bishop the Age! 62 McPherson, 58 the Age in overtime!
Everything happening in the sports world. And even some things not happening in the sports world.
We've got a little lemon cheesecake.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE, or for those of you listening online worldwide at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the most popular man in McPherson, the man who will not be playing any golf today because of some large hail.
Might be fixing ball marks, though.
You might have to do some work. Steve can go out there and...
got a bad back.
We can put you to work, Steve. So, we have a very fun show, very fun week coming up today. Unfortunately, we don't get to talk about the madness that has been going on with the Philadelphia 76ers over the last 24 hours. But we do have a special guest in studio. And we've got two special guests coming up in the next 2 days. And Steve, you and I made the comment yesterday that there are probably zero other radio stations in the country that get to talk to Miss and Mr. Basketball in the state in back-to-back days. And Steve, we get Miss Basketball
T-Rob
in studio today. And none other than Taylor Robertson. Taylor, we are glad to have you in studio today. Are you excited to be here?
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This is the moment we've been waiting for. And
we've been talking about this for weeks.
Well, Taylor, the first thing I want to ask you, and we're going to talk about the state championship game a little bit later. We're going to talk about your senior season. We're going to talk about your bullpup career of the all-time leading scorer. But the first thing I wanted to ask you is that you've watched the championship game with our audio a lot. What went through your head the first time you watched it and heard Steve say, "That's the dagger"? What did you think when you heard that for the first time?
Well, that was crazy.
That's what everybody tells me. But the thing was, you're playing Bishop Miege. That follow the putback that made it 9. I mean, you're playing Bishop
Miege, for goodness sakes. They don't beat themselves. You have to beat them. So I didn't think there was any chance. I've watched Miege. My first year here, we played Bishop Miege for the state championship. 1980, we played Bishop Miege. It's a team that doesn't beat themselves. But to beat, you know, to win a state championship against Miege, you have to beat them. They don't, you know, they don't lose. But you guys, I thought the three-pointer by Sweat really kind of gave you a little hope. And then they did a couple of uncharacteristic things. Let's you know, be clear, for a Miege team. But you guys took advantage of every opportunity, and it was definitely a comeback for the ages.
So, Taylor, we'll talk about the championship game in detail a little bit later. But first, what have you been doing for the last 2 months? Steve and I, we've just been kind of sitting around, tapping our foot, waiting for basketball to come back around. What have you been doing since March the 10th in that championship game against Miege?
It's been crazy since then. Just trying to work out and just keep getting shots up whenever I can, and also watching some NBA playoffs.
Yeah, I know you're a big Steph Curry fan.
Oh, yeah.
I know that you were probably real sad whenever he wasn't playing the first couple of series, but him and Klay Thompson, how do you think you would do in a shooting contest against them from, like, the high school three-point line? You get to put your feet on the line, right, your toes right up there against it. I think you'd do okay. Now, I think if you keep backing up, kind of like what I said with Trae Young, if you keep backing up, I think those guys might get you. But if we had a free throw contest, we had a three-point contest from right on the line, I think you could handle Steph Curry. He might make a few more nothing but net, but I think you could do it. So, Taylor, you told me earlier today, we never really knew what the deal was with your hand during the state tournament. And we never really got the full understanding of what happened. And what you said earlier is that you've been sort of rehabbing that hand and that you injured it in the game against Augusta. So what have you been doing over the last month or 2 months in trying to get that hand healthy before going down to Norman?
I've been just trying to move it around a lot, just trying to ease back into it a little bit after I had to take a little time off to try to make it feel better, but mostly just trying to get back doing like normal stuff, just like getting shots up and stuff like that.
Now, you've signed with the University of Oklahoma, or Oklahoma University, whichever you want to call it. Sherry Cole is longtime coach down there. What was it about her that attracted you to her and the program? And also, has she given you like a workout to follow? Is there any specific things that she's told you that she wants you to do before you get down to Norman this summer?
She's really special. I just really liked her personality, and she's a competitor and just really wants to win. She hasn't really given me exactly like a workout plan or like a thing to do, but she's kind of giving me advice on like what I should work on and stuff.
Now, Oklahoma's had a really good program for a long time. I think they kind of reached their height when they had the Paris sisters, and they had some three-point shooters. The three-point shot is a real staple in the Oklahoma offense. At least it has been in the past. I'm sure it probably still is. I can't imagine that Sherry Cole has changed what's gotten her, you know, averaging about 22, 23 wins in her long career. But as far as the incoming freshman class, how many freshmen has she signed beside you?
Five others.
And kind of describe, are there some bigs in there? Are they mostly perimeter players? And have you met any of them?
Yeah, I've met some of them, and I've like texted them, and I've gotten to know some of them pretty well. They got a couple bigs and also some other guards, but they're really a talented group.
And what do they have coming back in terms of starting personnel? I know they didn't really have quite the season. You know, they're pretty used to being in the Sweet 16 or Elite 8. They fell back a little bit this year. Did they lose quite a few seniors?
Yeah, they lost like four or five.
How many of those were starters?
It kind of depended. They kind of switched up their starting lineup.
And did they go with a lot of, you know, like one big, you know, one in, one big in, four out, or how were they double post, or how did their lineup play out?
It kind of just depended on the team they were playing, but they had a couple really solid bigs.
Now, have you talked to Caitlin Lecker? Of course, McPherson fans, Caitlin Lecker played at Oklahoma State for 4 years. This past season, she was a grad assistant at St. Mary of the KCAC. And I know growing up, you probably knew Caitlin very well. She, you know, probably worked.
I think I saw you guys post a picture after the state championship game.
Yeah.
And Caitlin, I know, has been a big influence in your career. Has she said anything, what you need to do to prepare for Big 12, or have you talked about that with her at all?
I don't know. We haven't really talked about that, but I know when, like last summer when I was getting recruited, she kind of gave me some advice to follow when, like, trying to pick a school.
Now, what people probably don't know is Taylor started getting recruiting information when she was pretty young. Just how young were you? I mean, you can be honest. I know you were getting it pretty young because you were a YouTube sensation. I mean, people knew who you were.
I think you were probably what got Steve to go to YouTube for the first time.
Well, actually, that might be true because somebody said you were like, I want to say 8 or 10, and you did some kind of dribbling thing. I believe it was uptown maybe. And, you know, you were going behind the back between the legs. You were spinning three and four basketballs. I think you spun a basketball at the top of your head. I don't know. But you were a YouTube sensation. Everyone's like, oh, you got to see this girl. She's like 8 or 9 years old. And, you know, she can just do everything with a basketball. So when did you really, though, start getting – when was your first recruiting notification?
Well, when I was in second grade, Jody Adams, the coach now at Derby, when she was at Wichita State, she always was talking to me because I always went to all of her, like, basketball camps. And so she said that I had a scholarship there if I wanted it. But that was in the second grade, so I didn't know if that really counted.
Well, but I know K-State was in on you very early. When did OU get in on you?
Last April.
Mm-hmm. And did they just keep in constant touch? Did they come watch you play, or or what was, how would you describe their recruitment of you?
First it just started, they watched me play, like when we played in Arizona and in Texas, and then after those two tournaments, they called me, and then I just kind of hit it off with them and just talked with them a lot and texted back and forth, and then they watched me play another couple times, and then I took an unofficial visit and then played some more, and then I committed.
And what other schools, like I said, I know when Deb Patterson, I believe, was at K-State, she was recruiting you, like, I want to say like the seventh grade, maybe. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Anyone recruit you when you were in the seventh
grade? No. the seventh grade school I was going to probably didn't recruit me at all.
But I know K-State was in on you. What other schools were looking at you?
The other big one that was pretty much in my top three was Creighton. And then I had some others that kind of came in like later in June and July. Texas Tech, Weber State, Utah.
And Utah, of course, Brett Olsaker from McPherson, former Ute, played out there, 2 years, I think? 1 or 2 years, mm-hmm. And then she transferred, finished her career at Washburn. Had a great career. Now she's an assistant coach at Washburn. Her brother Christian, of course, was Mr. Basketball. When he was a senior, led the Bullpups to the state championship in 2011. But, again, what was the most thing about the recruiting process that maybe was a turnoff for you? Just the phone calls, texts, or what was it?
I thought it was mostly fun until like 2 or 3 weeks before I committed in July, because at that time we just finished playing for a week in Texas, and then like my phone was like ringing like every 2 seconds. Like I'd get off the phone with one college coach, and then 10 seconds later another one would call. So it's
now I know that with texting and, you know, things like that now, The old days, they'd send you a letter, and kids would have shoe boxes full of letters. Do you have shoe boxes full of letters?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know if they still did that, because as Jim would tell you, I don't do social media. I barely
could. He doesn't have a Snapchat.
I didn't have a cell phone until about 4 years ago. I figured I'd live 57 years without a cell phone. I could live another 57 without one. Only make me 114, but I don't know, by then might be something different. But I always got a kick out of those the kids that have the shoe boxes. They'd take pictures. They'd be in their bedroom, and somebody would tell them to lay down on the ground. Then they'd put all these letters on top of them and around them. It's always kind of a cool picture.
We have Taylor Robertson in studio today. And Taylor, I think that Coach Strathman told this story at the banquet, but I know he told me that he gets asked all the time, well, when was the first time that you ever saw Taylor play? When was the first time you ever saw her shoot? And he said, there was one time when you were real little that you were in first or second grade and went out in the middle of a game and were shooting at halftime. But he said one of the first times that he knew you were the real deal was you were playing in like a third or a fourth grade game. You get fouled at the end of the game, and you've got two free throws coming up on the other end of the floor. And Coach Strathman was saying, you know, most third or fourth graders, if they've got to go to the free throw line to win the game, they don't like that all that much. But he said Taylor got fouled, popped up, and sprinted to the free throw line and said, give me the ball. I get the feeling that that's not all that far away from what would happen tomorrow if you were playing in a big game. And they said, all right, got to go to the free throw line and win it. When was it that you figured this whole free throw shooting thing was your thing? And that, at what age did you feel so confident when you stepped to the line that you weren't going to miss?
I don't know. I've kind of felt that way for a long time. But when I was in elementary school and middle school, I started practicing, like, really a lot. And free throws just came a part of it. And then ever since then, I felt really confident.
How many free throws do you think you take per day? Well, maybe not per day, but when you go shoot, how many free throws do you take?
Probably around 100 or a few more.
And how many do you miss? Do you even miss? I mean,
maybe
three.
One or two.
Yeah, maybe three.
God, three. You know, but no, the repetition. You know, the thing that always got me about your free throw shooting is the net almost never moved. I mean, it was so repetitious. And talk about your Elks hoop shoot free throw contest. When was the first one you attended? I think you won your very first one, didn't you?
I got second first time. Yeah.
Okay, well, God, second, you know. You know, second's the next first, but anyway. But, no, you would go to those free throw contests, and how many? You were national champion?
Twice.
Twice, but you were runner-up, I think.
Once.
So that had to be a great experience because I think you end up, when you won it, you got to go to like Springfield, Massachusetts and see the Basketball Hall of Fame. And one thing your basketball has done for you, it has taken you all over the country. And talk about how fun that's been.
That's,
the places you've seen.
That's probably the funnest part, just being able to go all over the country, just playing in different gyms and seeing different like parts of the world that I've never seen before, and it's been really fun.
Well, it's one thing to shoot 25 free throws in a competition at the Roundhouse, but it's got to be, you know, I would think it'd be very difficult to shoot 25 free throws in a venue you've never really stepped in, but it doesn't seem to affect you at all.
Yeah, I just try to focus, and that's pretty much the only thing that I do. I just focus and tune everything out, and I'm able to knock them down.
We have former Bullpup star. I'll call him a star.
Former.
It's weird to say that now. Taylor Robertson in studio, Miss Kansas Basketball, with us today. We'll take our first break, and when we come back, we want to talk about Taylor's senior season, which led to state championship number 9, like it says on her shirt that she's wearing today. We're back after this. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online at midkansasonline.com. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell, and we have a special guest in studio today.
I thought you were going to have some Boomer Sooner music.
I should have.
Yeah. Da, 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 da. Boy, you're going to get tired of hearing that. Let me tell you, it's like Rocky Top.
The special guest is none other than Miss Taylor Robertson, the future Boomer Sooner. Have you talked with Grandpa Danny, Jake's grandpa? Big OU Sooner fan.
Danny Glidewell.
Oh, he's going to be real excited that you're there. Yeah, Boomer Sooner, Boomer Sooner.
He's got a red truck.
Rocklahoma.
He's got an OU colored truck. He's that big OU fan.
Well, Taylor, we know that OU is coming up in the future for you, but I want to reflect back on what was a very fun, very exciting 2017-2018 senior season. And going into this season, I think everybody knew the two teams that would probably end up meeting back again in the state championship game. But the first thing that really threw everybody off and went, uh-oh, we don't know what's going to happen, is July of last year, when you get the news that Mandy ruptured her Achilles. And we talked with Mandy whenever she was in studio about a month ago, going, well, it might be March that she gets back, might be February. She found a way to make it January. But what were you thinking whenever you found out that news that Mandy was probably going to miss, at that point we probably thought, her whole senior year?
Kind of made me sick to my stomach just hearing that, from just because she's my friend on and off the court and being a teammate. I just really felt bad for her, but I knew that she would work really hard to try to get back as soon as she could.
And for you guys, whenever you got into the season, it was a little weird situation because Mandy was there, and she was a senior, but she wasn't in uniform, where you were the lone senior in uniform on the court. And especially early on in the year, it's a fairly young team, where you had Lakin as a sophomore guard, Riley as a junior, Hannah as a junior. You're molding Cassie into that role as a starter as a sophomore. And so you had to take on a little different leadership role than probably what you were used to. What were you saying to the girls at the beginning of this season when everybody was still trying to get their legs underneath them? You know, you had the big derby game early on in the year, the Bishop Miege game early on in the year. What were you doing at that time as a leader in terms of trying to get the word out saying, hey, everybody, we're really good?
I was just trying to tell everybody just to give it all you got every single play. It doesn't matter if we're up or down. And just be competitive in practice. Don't take any plays off. And just, yeah.
One thing that I always liked about Coach Strathman's teams is how much you guys rely on the three ball. And I know you being a shooter, You had to love that kind of offense. But you ran a lot of great plays to get open threes. But everybody knew how good a shooter you were. But did you realize, or did you have to kind of see as the season went along, just how good some of these other girls could shoot the basketball? I mean, Hannah Hageman really developed into a three-point shooter. Lakin could shoot the three. Riley especially, you know, she was probably the next three-point shooting threat. Even Andrea could shoot the three. I mean, you had a lot of people that could shoot the three, but that offense that you guys ran, you just had to love that offense.
Yeah, that was it was really fun to have, and not just because I could shoot threes, but you could give it to almost anybody on the floor, and they could all knock it down.
We mentioned that Bishop Miege game from back in December in Kansas City. You knew that you were probably going to get another chance at him when you walked off the floor there. But did you leave Kansas City feeling good about your chances against Bishop Miege later on in the year? Or did you leave there a little discouraged and go, oh no, they got us again? Were you thinking, okay, I think we can hang with these guys? Or was this more of a, I don't know if I want to play them again in March?
Oh, I definitely knew when we walked off the court I wanted another shot at them, and our whole team did. I knew we could hang with them. We just had to do a couple things better and different, and we'd have a chance.
The weird thing about your guys' season was that the month of December, the back half of it where you guys played Andover in the final game before the break, you come back and you play Bueller in the first game after the break, and both of those games were a little shaky. But the game that I told Coach Strathman that I think everybody sort of figured it out was the Circle game. And the game that he points more to was the Olathe South game. But somewhere in that stretch, I think everybody figured out their role. And they figured, hey, we're pretty good. And we're going to make a run here. When was it in that stretch that you realized, okay, we're going to be able to make a pretty deep run?
I think it was kind of the Circle game. That was we played a pretty good game there, and because Circle was ranked like fourth or something at the time,
so I think they were undefeated.
They were 6-0. Yeah.
So we kind of figured it out then, and we all knew what our roles were, and so that kind of helped us for the rest of the season.
When you got to the Mid-America Classic, that was when everybody knew, okay, second half the month of February, you're not going to get a whole lot of competition. So this is the moment that we've got to prove ourselves. The Olathe South game, I told you before, I don't like Olathe South. You get into the Olathe South game and you guys run them out of the gym. You get into the Manhattan game, you've got Mandy back throughout the week. Mandy plays a great game. You play a great game. Collectively, everybody against Manhattan in the championship game played well. At that moment, this team looked pretty much unstoppable. And February, you knew you weren't going to be tested. But to get a win over a Manhattan team with a girl that you're friends with, Chrissy Carr, I think that might have been the moment that everybody, maybe not within the program, but around the state, went, okay, the Bullpups are for real. You think that was about what people were thinking?
Yeah, especially since we were able to knock off a really good Manhattan team and Olathe South, just because.
And Olathe South, playing them, though, it was as much a mental barrier, probably as a physical barrier, because they'd never lost in our tournament. They'd won, I think, 16 in a row or something like that in the tournament. And really, you guys took that game by the throat early, and you just never gave them an idea that they had a chance to win that game. And I really felt that was a game that kind of let you guys know, hey, if we can beat Olathe South with their tradition and then beat Manhattan, I thought you were on your way. And then, of course, in February, you had Newton in there. You know, I know that's a game that you really wanted bad.
Yeah, especially after what happened last year. Everybody on the team, they knew when we went into Newton it was going to be a battle, and we really just wanted to win.
And for a half, though, it was a battle again. What turned in that game that you can remember? Because you end up beating them double digits.
I don't know. We started kind of hitting shots in the third quarter, and we kind of went to our zone a little bit for a few possessions and got a couple steals. And then after that, it was pretty much over.
You know,
Taylor might have hit a pretty big shot at the end of that third quarter.
Yeah. I think she had a few big shots in that game. But
I think that was the first of two back-to-back where buzzer beaters to end the third quarter. You hit one over there on the right side, far side of the floor, and then you hit one against Great Bend the next night from even deeper. Let's take our final break, and when we come back, I just want to talk about the state championship game. We might be able to talk a little bit about the state semifinals against Labette, but I want to talk about that last 2 days of the season with Taylor Robertson, Miss Kansas Basketball, in studio with us this afternoon. One more break. We're back after this. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell, and Miss Kansas Basketball, former Bullpup and future Oklahoma Sooner, Taylor Robertson, in studio with us today. Taylor, we mentioned it before we went to the timeout. We want to talk about that last week of the season. The state tournament, beating Augusta in the first game. We already talked about how you hurt your hand in that game and then played the last two with a doctored up, taped hand. The Labette game, I remember saying that I thought that was maybe your guys' best all-around performance of the year. Everybody played well, and I think Coach Strathman has said that there were six different girls that hit a three in the third quarter. It was five or six, but that so many different people contributed. Everybody played well. They shut down Tristan Gehg enough to, you know, leave her to 30 points, but you get to the state championship game. A Miege team that you lost to the year before. It took a big effort from you and Mandy and still fell just a little bit short. What were you telling everybody? What was running through your mind leading up to that championship Saturday? Because I want to know what was going on in Taylor Robertson's head getting ready for that game.
It was kind of a lie. I was just telling everybody, don't be nervous. We worked all season and all pretty much our whole lives just for that moment and that we were going to be fine. We just had to go out and play.
And the game started off okay. It was a little back and forth, but Miege was in control throughout the first half. And I remember you guys going into the halftime locker room and being down 8-9.
35-26, if I remember right.
And that everybody went in there and said, hey, we were down 10 at Miege in December, that this is no big deal. We're going to make a comeback. Third quarter, it's getting there. Fourth quarter, though, Miege starts to take control. They're starting to make baskets after misses and Steve's famous dagger call.
Yeah.
With about 2.5 minutes left, you're down 7, they miss a shot, get an offensive rebound, score, go up 9. Was there ever a moment where you were looking at the scoreboard and seeing the score and seeing the time and thinking, uh-oh? Or were you just so focused in the game that you weren't paying attention to that?
I was really focused in the game, but I remember looking up at one point when it was starting to get down, and I saw we were down 9. I was like, okay, that's no big deal. That's only 3 shots, because if we can get 3 threes, then we just got to get 3 stops in a row.
Well, you got 2 threes in that run. Sweat, like I said, that was really the shot that gave us a chance. And then, of course, Riley's shot. You know, I watched the replay of that. I didn't think it was going to go in, because it looked like she'd missed it wide right, and it kind of came back and went in, and that was such an incredible shot. And again, once you got the game into overtime, did you feel like momentum was on your side and there's no way you're going to lose?
Oh, yeah. As soon as they missed that one shot at the buzzer of regulation, I kind of knew. I was like, the momentum's turned. We got it on our side. We got a pretty good chance now.
Taylor, I kind of think you have this feeling around you that when we watch you on the court, it's not a cocky thing. It's not the right word. But you have this look to you that you know you're going to win. And one of my favorite parts of that championship game is after you guys made the three to tie it, Miege has the ball with about 10 seconds left, and they're inbounding. And you run back out on the floor, and you start pumping up the crowd. In the biggest moment of your career, to be saying, all right, we're going to get a stop here. Come on, crowd, let's hear it. I thought that was a really special moment. And one of the other moments in overtime that obviously was special, after you guys get the final stop, Miege tries a 3 down 3, they miss. Lakin grabs the rebound, sort of flips it to you, and you're walking the length of the floor. In a 3-point lead, you have to make one free throw to win it. What were you thinking for those final 15 seconds of just, was it just breathe, or what was running through your mind knowing that the season is about to end because you're going to make a free throw?
I don't know. It was crazy. Just walking down there, I like kind of stood there and I could feel kind of tears in my eyes. I was like, okay, you got to stop. You got to concentrate and focus. It's just two normal free throws. You just got to step up and hit them. But
yeah. Probably all those.
What happened on the first one?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened.
And I blacked out for a little bit.
Because I think I go, oh my God. I think that's what I said on the air. I said, she doesn't miss free throws. And I said, I guarantee you she'll make the second one. And she did. Yeah.
When the second one left your hand, What and when you saw it go through, obviously you were still in the game, and I remember you still pointing to somebody and saying, hey, we got to play defense, and then you kind of deked them and let them go by. The moment that buzzer sounds, was it just an extreme feeling of relief? What were you thinking then?
I don't know. It was...
Blacked out.
Yeah, it was. I was just so happy for the whole team because we worked all year just for that, and we... We were able to do it. It was just crazy.
And, you know, we'd talk, you know, a lot of people had talked. You and Mandy came up together. They said the one thing they're missing is a state championship. They're missing a Mid-America Classic championship. Well, you got the Mid-America Classic championship, and finally you get the state championship. It just, did it feel like that validated your career winning a state championship? Or do you feel like you'd been, if you hadn't won that game, do you feel like something in your career had been missing, or do you feel now your high school career was complete?
I think it would have been missing because I've dreamed of winning a state title my whole life, so.
And a banner.
Yeah.
Got a banner going up. Got that Wall of Fame ceremony. Are you going to be able to get back for that, you think?
I hope so.
Yeah, boy, what a.
We're going to have to send an email to the people in Norman and say, hey, we've got to let Taylor out for this one.
Yeah.
To get back here for the banner ceremony, getting recognized as state champions. I think you might make the Wall of Fame. I don't know.
No, she made it when she was a sophomore. So she's, you know, that's got to be an honor, though. You know, you got to do something pretty special to get on that Wall of Fame. And I know any kid that goes to McPherson High, you know, that's a really good athlete, that's got to be kind of an ultimate goal.
Yeah, it was a goal just to get up there, but my main goal was just getting a banner.
You think Taylor's got some accolades? 2018, well, Miss Kansas Basketball. A record of 81-13 in her career, 38-1 against the league. Four-time first-team All-League, three-time league MVP, 1,912 points.
That's going to be a record that I think will stand the test of time. I don't see that record. It's going to be a long, long time. It's kind of like George Chaplinsky's single-game record at McPherson High, 44 points for the boys. That stood since 1962. I look for Taylor.
She almost got that.
I know. Well, if, you know, we'd been thinking about it, we would have told Coach Stratton to leave her in that one game, and she could have got 50 that night. But anyway.
322
her
threes.
Plaque, the problem on her plaque, it's going to be the writing's going to be so small to try and get everything on there. You're going to need a magnifying glass, unless they're going to maybe make an extra, you know, put two plaques up there so she can have all her accolades. But anyway, Taylor, I just want to say, you know, I watched you from the time, you know, you were to my ankles. And, you know, I saw you grow up, and it's been such a pleasure watching you play, watching you, you know, develop into the player you are. And the way you handled everything, you always handled it with so much grace and dignity and class. So I just want to say thank you because you made my job a lot easier, and it was fun writing about you, not just for the last 4 years, but I got to write all those Elks hoop shoots things and like that and run your picture. So I just want to say I know everybody in McPherson, they're going to miss Taylor Robertson next year.
What's the thing that Taylor Robertson is going to miss the most about McPherson? Going down to Norman, I think you said you're leaving June the 10th. What are you going to miss the most about playing at McPherson, playing inside the roundhouse? What is it the most that you're going to get to Norman and go, man, those were fun days?
Probably everything. I'll really miss playing for the Bullpups. That was probably my favorite thing ever.
I've got a feeling that Taylor, on a few Tuesday and Friday nights over the next year, we'll be tuning in to Steve and I.
Oh, yeah.
And listening to some games. So whenever you do, just text me and we'll give you a shout-out. Taylor, best of luck to you as you make your way down to Norman here pretty soon and take part of Boomer Sooner Nation. I just get the feeling wherever you go, you're going to find a way to do it. They're going to find a spot for Taylor Robertson to make threes, make free throws, and be the leader that you have been here. And I can't wait to see what happens for you next.
Thank you.
All right, well, we'll wrap up today's show. Tomorrow, we get Mr. Basketball in
Big
studio.
Ben.
You think you could beat Ben in a three-point shooting contest?
It'd be close. We should try it.
There was a picture.
I'll be ready.
There was a picture one time of she and Ben when they were about 9 or 10 years old. And we just had a feeling at that time. I always relay this story. Tommy Pyle, who is Ben's uncle, always said when Ben was in the third grade, you know, we talked about the different Piles that have played. Tommy says, put it all away. There's one in the third grade right now. No one will ever touch him. And sure enough, Ben ended up being the most prolific player in the long history of his family.
And two pretty good high school scorers that are now former Bullpups, Taylor Robertson, Ben Pyle. So we'll have Ben on tomorrow. Taylor, we enjoyed it. We know that you're going to be doing a lot of radio interviews by the time you get to Norman. So best of luck, and we can't wait to keep following what comes next. So tomorrow, Ben Pyle on the show. We wrap things up for today. For Taylor Robertson, for Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 1230 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.